was all he was. I burned the cool off of that Corvette. Now he's gone and I ain't back yet. Looking back at the moments black and white, I wouldn't change a thing that changed my life. For the worse, for the better. Man, I was gone, gone forever. She was a cut-off pepper sauce queen. Man, we were matches and gasoline. First taste of love, never will forget. I was gone and I ain't back yet. I was gone, gone and I ain't back yet. Looking back at the moments black and white.
806. A better way to say Happy Mom's Day. A healthy, locally grown plant. Murray Farms Greenhouse in Penacook. Hanging plants, maybe a planter for her front step or patio. Or check out Murray's giant potted tomatoes with fruit already started. Surely with Murray's huge selection in the greenhouse, you will find a perfect plant for mom. And Murray's has lowered their prices this year. Oh, cool. Murray's Farm Greenhouse open till 7 p.m. weekdays, 5 p.m. on weekends. You can check them out online. At murraysgreenhouse.com.
She was a straight out of Hollywood smile. We missed it all by a country mile. When I went out for some cigarettes and I was gone and I ain't back yet. I was gone, gone and I ain't back yet. I was gone.
A song Major General Bill Riddell could be singing. I'm gone, I ain't back yet. And now joining us live from, I believe, Camp Arif Jan in Kuwait, the Adjutant General from the New Hampshire National Guard, Major General Bill Riddell. Morning, General.
Good morning to you. Actually, afternoon here, Peter, as you know.
Yeah. Are you at AJ?
I am.
Colonel Wilson, Colonel Corey taking care of you?
They are actually, Colonel Wilson is on leave, Colonel Corey is here, and we're just having a grand old time. Actually, we started out the morning with a meeting with General Dowd, then we went to KNB, and then we went up to ALS, and now we're back.
Man, you've been moving.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you have been moving. How'd you like General Dowd's office? Nice oriental rug. I mean, it's pretty spiffy.
No, we had breakfast with him. We didn't go to the office.
Oh, okay. Well, he picked up the...
only for special people.
He paid for breakfast for you, I assume. I hope he picked up the tab.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that was right. He paid for breakfast for
him. There you go. So, what are you seeing? I mean, the men and women of the 197th Fires Brigade, they've got to be jacked. I know that the Command Sergeant Major Nanoff is with you, and they've got to be thrilled to see the two of you over there.
Well, they acted like it. I think some of them were voluntold to be at places, but they've done an outstanding job. You know, when you go to these places, you have two choices. You can just go in and bide your time, or go in and make it better than you found it. And that's what the 197th has done. And everybody we talk to just can't say enough about the job that they've done. So we're really proud of them. I know the governor's proud of them. I know General Bennett's proud of them. And Command Sergeant Major Nanoff is proud of them, and he's right here. He's going to say hello.
Sir. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hey, John. Good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm just doing great here. It's a great, great day to be here. These soldiers, unbelievable. What a great trip we've had.
Is Sergeant Major Considine running the place the way you would?
He's doing it even better than I would. He's doing a great job here with his whole team. Just fantastic. Because as you know, with all the different camps and the responsibility he has, he's got not only his leadership, but his great leadership across the brigade, throughout the battalions, down to the company levels. Just fantastic here.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're having a good time. Now, did I understand that tags from Michigan, Rhode Island, and West Virginia are there as well?
And Kansas.
Really?
It's been great because everybody has gotten to see their people and understand their mission. And, you know, you can hear about it at home, but until you experience it and actually see it up front and personal, you just have no idea what the outstanding job they all are doing, because they've come together as a team, you know, as one great National Guard team, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you were at Kuwaiti Naval Base, and by the way, there is a Dunkin' Donuts in there. You can find it.
Yeah, well, you know, we walked by, we sniffed it. Colonel Leahy had one of his poo-poo drinks, and he was a happy camper.
Please remember me to the colonel. And you were at LSA. You saw Colonel Challenger?
We did. He's done an outstanding job there. They're kind of the stepchild of all the different bases, but it's amazing what you can do with a little imagination and thinking outside the box.
Oh, they have done a phenomenal job up there, and let's face it, for the most part, if you're leaving Kuwait, you're doing it through LSA.
That's right. And I did not sit next to Ronald McDonald, but I thought you did.
No, they tried to get me to sit next to Ronald McDonald, and I refused. But I did get a picture of the Golden Arches in Arabic, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. We were up at Cape Crossing yesterday and Cap Buring. We've been on the move since we've been here, and we've been able to see everybody, really.
It's interesting because, I mean, you're talking an hour and a half, 2 hours from Camp Arifjan, but all the camps are very reachable. But even though it's that close, they do seem a world away from where they are. Bering and LSA and Virginia, they're you know, kind of in a world unto themselves.
Yeah, they are. They are, but it's everybody has a big smile on their face, and they know that they're pretty close to coming home, which, you know, helps them. But a lot of times I don't think they even need that. You know, they've just got their smile on their face and just going about doing their thing.
No,
and doing it the best they can.
No, that's right. And Colonel Wilson, wasn't there a graduation in the family? That's why he was saving up his leave to be home in time for graduation?
We think so. There are quite a few that are actually going to go home about real soon, within the next week or so, for the college graduations, and then in June for the high school graduation.
Gotcha. Now, the folks from Minnesota who are going to be taking over, have they started showing up in any numbers yet?
They have not. It'll be about the June time frame when the Advan team comes over, and then they start coming in probably around July time frame or so.
Oh. How much longer are you and Sergeant Major Nanoff there?
Let us count the hours. No, just we leave here about midnight tonight.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's a long flight. Now, which way did you go in?
We went Dulles to Kuwait City, and we'll go Kuwait City back to Dulles.
That's what, about 14 hours?
12 hours coming over, 14 going home, yeah, because of being against the wind.
Yeah. Well, as an Air Force guy, you understand all that, how that works.
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
I was hoping to be able to give you some hints on how to get back a little faster, but...
For somebody like me, it wasn't used to it. And I did the 7-7 flight to London to try and break it up, because I would have gone squarely 12 hours on a plane.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't bad coming over. I actually got a halfway decent sleep, but I think Command Sergeant Major Nanoff got only about an hour and a half.
That's right, but that actually helped me, because it helped me, because then when that first night I was able to sleep normally, so it was kind of on the right cycle over this period of time, so I was fortunate.
Command Sergeant Major, what impressed you the most? First time you've been in Kuwait, right?
Yes.
What impressed you most?
I really think that it was the motivation of the soldiers this far into it, and as you know, Peter, they came in on a mission they really hadn't trained for. I mean, these are artillerymen, they're logisticians, this is not what they're used to. But yet they came in here, They buckled down. They did the mission. And this far in, they're still trying to improve the camps. They're not sitting on their underduffs. They're out there doing this every day, trying to make it better for the ones behind them. And I just am impressed as all get out over that.
Hmm.
And that's a sign of the leadership and the soldiers.
Wow. General, how about you? What are you struck by?
It's ditto. It's amazing. There isn't a lot of, there aren't this ton of money being thrown at them. And they're going out and doing self-help projects and actually finding materials that were pretty decent that people were going to throw away and putting it to good use. So they're adding value back to America by doing that. And it's just amazing how many things they've done to make processes better, make the living quarters better, and just make life better for everybody around them, just not themselves.
Wow. Well, the two of you have given even more reasons for everybody back home in New Hampshire to be proud of the men and women of the 197th, whether or not you have a relative there or not. Be proud of them because they are doing the job, and there is light at the end of the tunnel for a lot of these folks, and they will be coming home in the not-too-distant future, and I hope the return that they get is as good or better than the send-off they got back in September.
Well, I'm going to draft you for that, so be prepared.
Gee, Kel Surprise. Okay. I'm happy to do it. Command Sergeant Major John Nanoff, always good hearing from you. You got, 6-8 hours before you're airborne, so pick up your souvenirs at the PX and get a good chow and get some sleep.
Roger that. We'll do that, Peter. Absolutely.
All right. And General, always a pleasure. And please give my best to Colonel Corey and Major Heilshorn, and if you happen to run into Specialist White or Sergeant Gordon, give them my best as well, and Sergeant Major Noyes.
They're all kind of sitting right here, so you just did it. So,
well,
you're welcome.
And Sergeant Gordon, he's dying for a challenge coin. Make him work. The guy really wants one. He wants to put that on his resume, so make the guy work and,
Oh, okay.
Take care of him.
All right.
I'll tell you stories
later.
About him later.
Okay.
General, pleasure. General Bill Riddell and Command Sergeant Major John Nanoff, thank you seriously both for checking in. Means a lot to all of us back in New Hampshire. And have a safe trip home, and we'll catch up with you when you get back.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks to the listeners, and thanks to New Hampshire for supporting our warriors. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure, General. Thank you. 8:18 is the time. There you go, General Bill Riddell and Command Sergeant Major John Nanoff at Camp Arif Jan in Kuwait. And I guess they've got about 8 hours before they 14-hour flight from Kuwait City to Dulles.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not a good flight. But General slept. He's an Air Force guy. Of course he can sleep. John's Sergeant Major's an hour. An hour he got sleep.
That's it.
We have the colonel on?
We do have the colonel.
Colonel, yeah. How would you be on a 14-hour flight?
Probably very tired.
It is our pleasure to welcome from the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department, Law Enforcement Division, the head of the department, Colonel Marty Garabedian. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Peter, and welcome.
Thank you. Well, you had an opening act. You had a general as an opening act. That's pretty good.
I know. What a great job they do, don't they?
I can't say enough about them. It's been a privilege to work with them for, a year and a half, going on 2 years now. And just great folks, and they're doing a great thing. And if we can help people in New Hampshire to remember that you've got over 700 men and women in Kuwait right now and not let them be forgotten, that we will have done our job.
And not only overseas, but also what they do here locally. They assist us a lot in our search and rescue missions off and on. And, they're some of the finest pilots and crew members anywhere in the country. And I'll tell you, it's unbelievable to be working with those individuals and, true professionals.
Now, didn't I I was having a conversation with Captain Burnham. Didn't I understand there was something going on up in Lincoln, Swiftwater training with the Guard?
Not that I'm aware of. Not with us. They may be training amongst themselves.
Oh, okay.
But we do. We are looking to do some enhanced training with them this summer, possibly, in reference to what we do for our search and rescue operations. And, you know, we do put individuals in the helicopter, and we're trying to do a little bit more training together. We generally, you know, scurry around at times to get a hold of them, and at a moment's notice, they always respond to our request.
Now, what is the nature of the relationship? I mean, if there is a lost hiker or a lost boater, hunter, whatever, when do you at Fish and Game say, okay, call the guard, bring in the chopper?
It all depends on the circumstances we're dealing with. You know, we look at it when it becomes a life and death type situation, and we need that resource to help find this individual. Then we give them a call. You know, we don't try to use them at every time we turn around. But in those situations where we feel time is of the essence, that's when we do call them. And they've been terrific.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure their entry into a search has been critical for a lot of them.
Yes. You know, I when I was an officer in the field, I had the pleasure of flying with them. Often, and I can't tell you, you know, the experience and the professionalism they bring and what have you. It's unbelievable. I can tell you for a fact we used them, I believe it was last week, on a search for a missing hiker overdue. Actually, it was a snowboarder that was lost up on Mount Washington. It was supposed to summit Washington and then snowboard down through Tuckamans and come out, and he didn't do so and was missing for about a day. There was still weather conditions up there and what have you. We did call them in when they did get up there. They were able to pick up his track on the summit and started to follow it down into what we call dry river country. They had to leave it and go fuel up in Berlin, and at which time it gave us some time to get some other crews started into the dry river area. They made it back and was methodically going along, following the track down in the dry river, and it just so happens that between the helicopter crew and a search team on the ground, they came together and found the individual about simultaneously.
Do you miss being in the field?
Oh, yes. That's the fun part.
Yeah. I mean, now you're kind of chained to the desk.
Well, I try to get out when I can. You know, I do work with some of the officers up on the Lakes region especially. I will go out on Winnipesaukee off and on during the summer patrolling. I also work, we have all work weekends, such as like the Winnie Derby in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I will be out working with those individuals. And yes, it's the fun part of the job. And, you know, I try to, when I make decisions, try to relate to what it was to be an officer in the field and what it means to them. So.
Now, take me back old school. You remember Pete Lyons?
Yes.
What's the difference between a conservation officer of Pete Lyons' era, when Pete was living in Tuftonboro, and he was on the lake, and that was 30, 35 years ago, 40 years ago. What's the difference between a CO then and a CO now?
Well, I think we have so much more duties to do now than we did back then. Also, time restrictions, it plays into it. You know, back then, those officers worked day and night, you know, and didn't get compensated. Times have changed, and basically officers are, you know, working 8-hour day, and then they, you know, have overtime available off and on. They do get called out quite a bit. My officers are really strained. You know, we're trying to do more with less. We do some things that are unfunded, basically, that causes some heartburn, but mm-hmm. You know what? I'm very fortunate to have a good group of guys that, you know, they stay out there and do the job and get it done. And that's what matters.
For the benefit of those who don't know, what are the responsibilities that you have as a law enforcement officer? Some people say that, oh, well, there's state police, there's local PD. Well, Fish and Game, they're not really law enforcement. You have the same powers, correct?
Yes, we go to the same training as all police officers in the state. We go to Police Standards and Training Council, which does a great job. They go, I think it's up to 14-week academy now, and held to the same standards as every police officer. The only difference that we don't have is we have very limited motor vehicle powers, but we have all other kind of powers, not only Fish and Game, but criminal Laura, also, you know, our officers, in some parts of the state, the only law enforcement officer in town is a conservation officer. You know, when I was in the field, I lived in the town of Clarksville, and would constantly get called out to assist Pittsburgh PD on a number of different items, you know, whether it was a domestic-type situation or a, you know, home invasion or some of those kinds of things. We just work together as a team. We don't care what color uniform you have. When you're called, you go and you do your job.
But I can boot by a fishing game truck doing 75 or 80 and not worry. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, for the most part, that would be correct, Peter. That's really kind of out of our purview. So we
okay,
let
well,
the local police and the state police deal with those issues.
What's the biggest thing that COs have to worry about in the field? When they have, I mean, you know, if you're a local law enforcement or state police and you make a motor vehicle stop, you have no idea what's going to happen. Do you think the same thing when they're in the woods or they're on the lake? There's still that trepidation about when they're, you know, talking to somebody or pulling somebody over?
I guess that's always in the back of your mind. We hope their training that those officers have been put through, you know, that's what we rely on. And, you know, you always have to be on your guard. It seems that the way society is going these days, it seems to happen more and more. You know, our officers are not immune to it. Some of our officers have been assaulted, you know, and we have been involved in capturing some individuals involved in some homicides in the North Country. You know, it's just part of our job, and we hope that the training that these officers get are going to get them through it.
You know, it's funny. Some people say, oh, geez, I can't make a move in the woods or on the lake without seeing a CO. And then I talk to other people saying, oh, my God, I've been in the field 25 years. Nobody's ever asked me for a license.
Yeah, it's, you know, those things happen where we ask for it. Then when we have a full complement of officers, there'll be 48 of us, and that includes the administrative staff here in Concord. As of right now, we're down 6 positions, so there's 42 of us. And, you know, when you figure days off and a search and rescue mission, you know, sometimes we only have a few officers in the field in the state while others are all tied up.
Well, it has always been my position that all you, the men and women at fishing game and law enforcement, you do a hell of a job. And that opinion has not held me in good stead with some people in the state house. But, you know, I don't care. I don't care because you're an unsung crew. You don't get a lot of accolades. The only time you hear about fishing game pretty much is on a rescue or a recovery mission. And other than that, you know, you're just there, but you're doing your job, and I think you do a great job. And please, and you know me well enough to know I wouldn't blow smoke at you if I didn't believe it. I really do. I think you guys do a great job, and it's a privilege to work with you.
Well, thank you, and, you know, it is a team effort. You know, it's not only the law enforcement division, but all our divisions here at Fishing Game.
Oh.
You know, we got to look at it that we're in the best of times when it comes to our wildlife species, being able to hunt them and fish and what have you, compared to what they were, say, 30 years ago. It hasn't been any better between our deer populations, our moose populations, and, you know, the fishing on the big lakes, which is going on right now. It's phenomenal, and we live in the best of times.
Oh, really to work with some of the commission and Steve Weber and the wildlife folks and the folks in I&E, it's a great crew and an unappreciated department, and one of the reasons we try to get it out there more and talk more about it, let people know what actually goes on. So appreciate you taking some of your time, Colonel.
Thank you, and anytime, Peter.
All right, we'll catch up with you.
All righty.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
Colonel Martin Garabedian, Marty Garabedian, from New Hampshire Fish and Game Law Enforcement.
Wow, what a half hour.
Was it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just went by in a blur.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went from General Riddell and State Command Sergeant Major John Nanoff to Colonel. Well, a lot of brass there. Man, between all those three.
All well decorated.
Yeah, yes. I guess maybe. But very, very cool to speak with all of them and just have a ton of respect. Marty, I knew Marty when he was just a CO up in Pittsburgh. And I'd be fishing First Lake in the canoe. And here came that tri-hull winding around. And Marty would pull up and was like, oh, it's Peter. Hey, how are you? And just kind of go on. And so, yeah, he great crew. And you know what I think of all the folks at Fishing Game, you know, in the information, education, wildlife, fisheries. It's a good crew.
Great crew, good, absolutely.
Yeah, great crew.
I've met quite a few through you.
Yep.
And all terrific guys. And very dedicated.
We talked earlier about Dredd. Another one of those departments doesn't get a lot of attention, but a lot of the stuff that goes on in the state is because of what happens at Dredd. And, kudos to them as well. So, you know, I forgot to ask John and Bill in Kuwait what the temperature was. Because it's supposed to be starting to head up to that buck 10, buck and a quarter temperature. KNB is Kuwaiti Naval Base. That's on the Arabian Sea. Should be a little cooler, but you start getting inland at Camp Virginia, which is just a miserable place. Hot, flat, sandy. There ain't a tree in sight. I mean, as far, they have a little clump. They cleared for the camp, and they made this dirt pile, and you can climb up on top of the dirt pile, which is probably the highest point in Kuwait. And you cannot see a tree. I don't care. Take binoculars, most powerful binoculars you got. Look in any direction. You ain't seeing a tree. The same at Camp Bearing, which is close to the Iraq border. Ain't nothing up there. Sand, dirt. So there's no place to hide once the heat cranks up.
Now, right now in Kuwait City,
yeah,
it is 99 degrees.
Is it really?
However, it only feels like 94.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, you got nothing to complain about. 8:31, we'll be back.